Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
We're going to glance in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 22. There's a verse there that is one of the verses to me that when you first read it, it seems maybe a little strange. And that's because, well, I have to grow in knowing the mind of the Lord, right? Yes, we do. Want to take a look at this passage. It happens when Jesus is with his disciples and he is about to be arrested and taken and to go through his trial and suffering and then to crucifixion. So I want us to look at Luke chapter 22, verse 36. We'll jump in right there. Okay, now I'm getting warm. Identifying with my wife. Hot, cold, hot, cold. Guys are going, what? Women of a certain age, they understand the joke. So here, Jesus is with them and he's telling them about what he's going to do and talks about Peter's denial. And verse 36, and he says this to them, when I sent you out with no money bag, do you remember where they got sent out to go do ministry? And Jesus said, don't bring anything with you, right? Because wherever you go, if they receive the gospel, they will take you in and they will care for your needs, right? If they don't, then, you know, shake the dust off your sandals, that ringing a bell for some of you. If not, if you've never read that, just you'll find it in the gospel. It's just another great account of Jesus and sending his disciples out to do ministry, kind of like the word we heard this morning. He wants to use you, has purpose for you. So here we now see Jesus saying, remember when I told you, no money bag or knapsack or backpack or whatever translation you're reading or sandals. Did you lack anything? They said, we lack nothing. He said to them, but now, okay, a little transition here. He says, but now let the one who has a money bag take it with. And the one who has a knapsack or backpack, take it with you. And let the one who has no sword sell his cloak and buy one. Sounds like Jesus is saying, okay, take your stuff with you. There's a different day and time that you're going to walk into, and, you know, you're going to have to use your sword. Like a physical altercation. It sounds like an endorsement when you just kind of read it. But when we understand the scripture and we know who Jesus is and we know prophecies, it actually brings about a very different meaning than what we may look at in the surface. And we also know that the scripture is filled with metaphors. That items or numbers mean things. And so when he says this about the sword, I want you to know that Jesus is not endorsing a physical revolt. Grab your swords, and this is how the kingdom of heaven is going to be established here on earth. That is not what he's inciting. And it's a reference to Isaiah 53, verse 12. Listen to this. Um, Actually, I'm going to start with number 11. Out of the anguish of his soul, he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous. He's talking about Jesus. Watch this. And he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will divide him a portion with the many. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. Now, Jesus is holy and righteous, right? The scripture is talking about that he's going to be numbered, he's going to be looked at as one who is sinful. He was numbered with the transgressors, yet he bore the sin of many. He makes intercession for the transgressor. We are able to look at this in hindsight because you know what Jesus has gone through. You've heard it preached. You've heard it taught. You've read the scripture about his suffering, his trial, and his crucifixion, and all that he went to, that he suffered the death of a sinful man, and yet he was completely righteous. He took upon him the wages of our sin, took it upon himself. And in exchange, he gave you and I his righteousness. He came and did the work of redemption, that salvation in a way would be made possible, that you and I could know the love of God and be restored to the right relationship with him as Adam had before the fall of man. So he has this powerful work for you and I that he has done. And I'm going to come back to this in a little bit. But this whole idea of the sword, this metaphor, there's a metaphor there. We know that he's mentioning physical things, but you and I, when we look at the scripture, we know that the sword is also a metaphor for the Word of God. Right? You've heard this in scripture? You know Ephesians 6, right? Full armor of God. One of the things that's mentioned is the sword of the Spirit. And it says right in the scripture, the sword of the Spirit. Equip yourself with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. You can look in other places. You'll find it in Hebrews chapter 4, right? About God's Word. It's a sword. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. Has the ability to divide asunder the soul and the spirit. It's able to determine what's inside a person. That's what the Word of God can do. It's sharper than a double-edged sword. Once again, equating the Word of God with a sword. And just hang on, this is going to piece together here. The emphasis that Jesus is talking about is that times are going to change here, boys. You need to become real acquainted with the sword of the Spirit, because times aren't going to be as peaceful as you have seen or felt, and not that there wasn't conflict or persecution against the ministry of Jesus. When they were sent out, they came back with all kinds of testimonies about what God did through them, even to the point that said even the demons submitted and listened to us. They told these testimonies of ministry. And it's not that they didn't face any opposition, but they came back with all kinds of testimonies of God's power. Now he says, listen, the things have shifted. Things are going to be difficult. Things are not going to be as peaceable. Things are not going to be as easy as it was. It's going to come with trouble, persecution, battles, wars, difficulty. And he says, so take these things with you. He mentions this sword. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it talks about the weapons we war with are not carnal or fleshly or of this world, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, right? And the passage goes on. And the idea is that the weapons we war with are not of this world. It's not the sword of the world. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And he says, these are spiritual battles. Listen, you and I will never win a spiritual battle with a physical sword. You will win spiritual battles by the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, who is Jesus Christ himself, because he is the living Word. He is the bread of heaven. The way that you and I will destroy and battle actual spiritual battles and strongholds in our life is through the Word of God. So here's the deal. You want to wield the sword of the Spirit. You want to wield this sword and conquer darkness and strongholds and things that are legitimately spiritual battles. But you and I cannot wield this sword if we don't know it. If we don't know His Word, you and I are going to struggle in spiritual battles. We're going to struggle to overcome. Oh, but I believe in Jesus. Yes. And He said, take with you the sword of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul writes about it. Take up the sword of the Spirit. You and I, if we do not know the Word, we are going to struggle in victory over strongholds. But I use the name of Jesus. Absolutely. But you and I need to know the Word of God. You look at Jesus in the wilderness. Remember that? Satan came to him to tempt him. And what was Jesus' reply on every occasion? He used Scripture. He knew the Word. He spoke the Word. He says, as it has been written. And he would quote the Scripture. You and I can go to church and we can lift our hands and we can be very sincere. But do you understand what you hold in your hand? I should have held up a phone. It's probably on a device. But you get the point. Do you know what you and I hold in our hand? The power of His Word? The authority of His Word? Do you and I know it? Do we rely on it? I want you to know that this is not written so that you can just study it, and just think you know so much that it puffs you up because you're the smartest person in your small group or Bible study. That's not what this is for. The more we get to know this and know Him, it's actually kind of humbling. Jesus warns of these tougher days. I want you to go back to this Luke 22 about the sword. This was to fulfill prophecy. That was the next verse, Luke 22. He said all this to fulfill prophecy. Jesus knew that He was going to be arrested and He was going to be taken. So they made their way from where they were having what you and I now call communion, which was their Passover, and they cross over from the Kidron Valley, and they go over to the Mount of Olives, and there was a garden there, the Garden of Gethsemane. And they come to arrest Jesus. They identify Him, and He's there with His disciples, and of course, Judas, he betrays Jesus, leads this group to come and arrest Jesus. And as they come, there's a few things that happen, but the one thing I want to point out, because we're on this theme of the sword, Peter has a sword. Now, I don't know, between here and there, he sold his cloak to get one. And I want you to pay attention to that little phrase, because he's saying this sword, it's worth the cost. And for you and I, when it talks about the Word of God, don't let anything be more valuable than his word. And as they're there, Peter draws his sword. Imagine that. The guy who was very reactionary. But boy, did the Spirit transform him, didn't he? Because you can read through the book of Acts. And so Peter strikes Malchus, the high priest's servant, cuts off his ear. Jesus, he says, Peter, put that back in its sheath. And Jesus, of course, heals Malchus. And it doesn't say if he picked up his ear or he just created a new one. Either way, total miracle. It's like, what's with this sword showing up? I mean, they're following Jesus around. They've heard him teach and preach and know who he is. He has the authority to walk through a crowd who's ready to stone him or throw him off a cliff. Peter responds on the heels of this word that Jesus said about better take a sword with you. Jesus was not inciting a revolt, but I will tell you, part of fulfilling the prophecy was to assure Jesus' arrest. He was counted with sinners or thugs. So glad that this sword showed up, that Peter had it. Feel bad for Malchus, but he's not here to talk about it. To assure Jesus' arrest, that was just one of the things to help fulfill prophecy. The impression that Jesus and his followers were thugs. To the religious leaders and the Romans, he is going to start a revolt. We better deal with this guy. And so I'm glad it's part of that because it just shows his fulfillment that he is counted amongst sinners. And to feed their narrative about a revolt, it assures his arrest. So Peter strikes, Jesus rebukes, because he wants to warn that there's days of opposition and you better be prepared. But this is not about winning spiritual battles with physical weapons. Now, physical weapons, and I'm not going off on a political tangent or going off on our Second Amendment or anything like that. We have them, we better deal with them righteously. I'm just telling you, when it comes to spiritual battles, they're not won with weapons of this world. The weapons of this world are met for the battles of this world, not the spiritual battles of this world. And so when you and I walk through this life that's hard and has trials, and amongst the things that we experience, sometimes what we face is spiritually motivated, and it is a spiritual attack. And not every challenge of this life do I believe that there's some demon hiding behind every toaster. But I do know that there are spiritual battles, and there are beings that are unseen to our physical eye on most occasions. And you might find yourself in a spiritual battle today or maybe in the days to come. Do not try to fight those battles with a physical response or your physical scheme or your physical plan. I want you to know that all of that will be futile against a spiritual battle. We win these battles, these spiritual battles, by spiritual means and by spiritual weapons. And so you and I should be prepared. Maybe life and dealing with things in this life have been hard, but you don't feel like you really faced any spiritual battles. And Jesus says, times are going to change, boys. And I think that they've been changing for a long time, and that you and I have spiritual battles in our life. Sometimes it's as the church as a whole. Sometimes it's us as an individual, or maybe our family, or different ways, or at work, however this is. And we can look at it and think, well, this is just the battle, and if I think this, and if I can do this, and I can, and we come up with our weapons of how we're going to do it. I want you to know they're going to be futile. That will never overcome the power of darkness. But Jesus has given us everything we need. He has all authority in heaven, on earth, under the earth. You put faith in him, you belong to him. And he doesn't take kindly to those who mess with his redeemed or his family. It doesn't mean that we don't have responsibility. You know, book of Genesis, I mean, his whole word is phenomenal. But when you look at Genesis, realize this about God's word and God's ability and what his words mean and the power that they carry. I mean, you have to remember, everything was void, right? The Spirit hovered. And Jesus, nothing was created without him. He was there. Gospel of John says that. Nothing that's been created was created without him. So look at right from the start in Genesis. God says, Genesis 1, verse 3, let there be light. And there was light. He spoke into existence. He said, his words, the power to create, the power that what he says shall be done, is done. The things he has said that have not yet been fulfilled, they will be fulfilled. There won't be one I that's not dotted or one T that's not crossed. That's the power of God. You go through the Genesis creation. You go to verse 6. He talks about, let there be an expanse. And he says, let there be an expanse between the land and the water. And all this is being done as he says what he wants, what he decides. It's done. Nothing can stop it. Then he says, I think the land should have vegetation. Let there be vegetation. He said it. It was done. Let there be an expanse between the lights, the heavens, and this earth. He says, let there be a separation between the water and the land. Let the water have creatures in it. You fish for some of them. Yeah. And let there be birds. We like birds at our house. My wife feeds the birds. She takes pictures of the birds. She even once in a while does a little journal on the bird. Yeah, it's a cool hobby. She gets excited about it. She likes to write. She's a little more artistic. Me, I just go, That's a nice looking bird. I have birds that are more favorite to me, more than others, like pheasant, grouse, sharp-tailed grouse. Boy, they taste really good. I'm just getting off track. Sorry, I got distracted there about his beautiful creation that I get to harvest. Point is this, do you recognize what you hold in your hands? His word. And you have been given it so that you can know it, so that it will impact you and change you, and you'll get to know him better and how to treat people better. And when darkness comes against you, you know his word. When temptation comes, you know how to run. That's what we're supposed to do. When the devil comes, you don't run. You stand your ground, you don't have to be afraid. Don't be afraid of empty threats, because Jesus is Lord. He's the master. He is the one that walks with you through the valley of the shadow of death, where you will fear not any evil. Don't forfeit the authority of God's word in your life because you're afraid. Know his word. It is the sword of the Spirit, and it will lay waste to darkness and strongholds and spiritual battles, oppression, possession, hassling of evil spirits. His word. Him. And the privilege is, you and I, if we know it, we get to use it, not presumptuously, but because it comes from a place of faith. Because where does faith come from? It comes by hearing the word of God. You want more faith? Read the word. If faith comes by hearing and the work of the Spirit, because of what you hear, the Spirit who revealed the mind of God to people to write, that you and I get to read, and then we get to live it out, and we get to experience it, that becomes this powerful, powerful, victorious life through Jesus Christ, the living word, the sword of the Spirit. I don't know what you face today. I don't know everybody's story. So how to prepare? Recognize his word, know it, be able to recite it, be able to quote it, be able to reference it, be able to paraphrase it without corrupting it. Don't add anything to it, but don't leave anything out, right? That's what he instructs us. This is not doctrine only. We should study to show ourselves approved, but this is the living word of God that has very much a practical application in who you and I are, who we become, and how we live, and how we experience victory in his word that will lead us home to see him face to face. Oh, what a day. So, why don't you stand up, please? Listen to this now, these closing remarks on this. In John chapter 6, later in the chapter, you will see where followers of Jesus, some of his other disciples, they were starting to leave Jesus. They weren't going to follow anymore. And Jesus looks at his 12, and he says, are you going to leave me too? And Peter, he speaks up. Listen to this. So he says, Lord, who would we go to, or where would we go? For you alone hold the words of life. You had a spiritual battle. Don't start looking elsewhere. He alone has the words of life. Even if you're going through a battle in this life and isn't necessarily spiritually, it's not a spiritual attack, it's life. He knows how He has the words to instruct and encourage you and I in how to walk through the things of this life that aren't necessarily a spiritual battle. You don't have to resort to just yourself. He's given you giftings. He's given you talent. He's giving you different gifts, different skills. And they're to be used. But they need to be generated by His Spirit and God's Word in your life and mine. Where else could we go? For you alone have the words of life. God's breath brings life. See, everything was, back in Genesis, it was all created. But then He said about you and I, about mankind, He said, and He started with man, He said, let us make man. That was a little different than the rest of those God said things. He said, let us make man. And so He formed him from the dust of the earth. But he was dead. Until God did what? Breathed His breath, His Spirit, the Spirit of the living Word. He breathed, and the man was alive. God's breath in His words to you and I. He said this to His disciples. He had them together on an occasion. It was John chapter 20. And He says, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this. Receive the Holy Spirit. And then what did He do? He breathed in them. It says He took a deep breath and He breathed on them. That the Spirit and the Word work together. It's one of the importance for them and for you and I about the book of Acts, about the baptism of power, that the Holy Spirit would fill you. Point of salvation, He indwells us. But the Scripture talks about this baptism of fullness, this baptism of power. It's what Jesus was telling them. Listen, you got a difficult day coming, and you're going to need the sword of the Spirit to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so you're going to need my Spirit who can counsel you and teach you. It says in the Scripture that the Spirit will counsel you, will teach you, because the Spirit is the one who wrote this through people, because the Spirit of God knew the mind of God. More Scripture talks about it in Corinthians. I'm telling you that whatever you face, you don't have to face it alone, and you do not have to face it on your own strength. Not on your own strength alone. He has made a way for you. He has made you more than conquerors through Him who loves you. Is that yours, buddy? What a cool car. It's a Fiat. You can bring that to church anytime. You need peace? The Word tells you how you can have it and how the Prince of Peace will give it to you. Do you need hope? You need healing? You need wisdom because you're facing something? You're scared. What do? You anxious about something? Tells you how to deal with it. You in a situation you just don't know what to do? You feel paralyzed? Feel crippled? His word. You feel attacked by the enemy? Don't fear. We're going to have battles of all kinds, including spiritual ones. You don't need to be afraid of the threats and the attacks of darkness. You don't need to panic. You don't need to make a bigger deal out of it than what it is. It's called normal for the Christian. He gives you everything you need. And he gives you everything you need to live a life of godliness in this life. Scripture says it. Fear not, but know his word. How do I deal with this woman you gave me? His first response is, you chose her. But he tells you, oh, how do I deal with this guy I said yes to? You brought him home. But he'll tell you, how do I raise my children in this world? Because this world is like it's so different than when I grew up. A thing came across one of my, I was on my phone and there's like this side thing that came up or I don't know. It just said, it was a little article and it gave pictures of what it was growing up. Remember what it was growing up like in the 1970s. Oh, and I went, I do. The pictures kind of made me laugh. The marketing was hilarious compared to what we face today. He knows how to help you in everything. And you can overcome your past. It doesn't have to determine your future. But knowing his word makes all the difference. You don't have to sharpen your sword. It's already sharp. You and I just need to know how to submit to what it says. And then how to allow God's word to use us and us be able to use his word. What a privilege. So the weapons you war with are not carnal. They're not fleshly. They're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and anything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, you can take as a prisoner. It doesn't have to take you prisoner. You get to take it as a prisoner. Doesn't get to roam the streets of your mind anymore because it's locked up. I don't know, maybe you didn't hear me, maybe you're not excited about that. I don't know. It excites me because I know me. Through his blood we're made perfect, but there's still this process of us becoming more like him. I'm still under construction. But I'm further along than I used to be. And this has made all the difference.
Thanks for joining us on the Lifecast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.